rather go through it with a win for sure. And I don't want to let, you know, that get in the way. But I've always said this to our guys. I'm always concerned with how we play. I feel like if we play the right way, we'll win more games than not. And there was just some inconsistencies versus their Reds on offense. And then defensively, we did not handle their screening tonight. They were screening and slipping to the basket, and they were getting, you know, layups, or we were fouling those guys because we were late in our help. So, you know, I'm always concerned with how we play, because I feel like if we play the right way, it'll take care of everything.
Monty Williams, following last night's six-point win over the Houston Rockets, a game that was really a tale of two halves, a dominant, carefree and easy first half offensively, where the Suns hit 18 three-pointers before halftime. They tied an NBA record for most threes in a half. Jay Crowder had eight of them. They finished with 25 threes in the game, which was a franchise record. But that second half was a slog offensively and a struggle defensively. And it's somewhat reassuring, Bick, to hear Monty Williams talk about it that way. You know, to always get it done with a win, it makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about, I don't know how many times we've had similar discussions.
Yeah.
There's been those times where the Suns couldn't get over the hump. The Charlotte game stands out recently. The game in Orlando stands out recently. By and large, though, they've had these games that have been uneven, stretches where they don't play well offensively or defensively, and they get away with it with a win.
Yeah.
And they did that last night.
I think
night.
They drifted a little bit last night. I think Monty Williams was very clear in that that game last night did not meet the standard the Suns have created. So he wasn't really vibing on the win. He certainly wasn't going to give it back. But and the 25 threes are something that this basketball team can do occasionally. They can get that hot and shoot that many threes that they can go 20-plus. And they were close to an NBA record last night, were they not?
I think the record 29.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were close. And they had 18 after the first half. So I thought DA was pretty good. I think there were moments when he drifted. I hadn't seen that from him in a long time, but they were just moments. But it was the kind of stuff you can't do in big games. That's what I'm saying. And I think there was a lot of that last night. And once again, it's if you learn how to control this and win these games, there's something to be said for not burning yourself out in the next 20 games or whatever they've got left down the stretch here, playing all-out defense on every possession you play. Some teams can do that. Most teams can't. If the Suns dial that back and pick and choose their moments with it and keep winning, I guess there could be worse things. But as I said earlier, the problem with last night was that was a prime game to get a lot of fourth quarter rest, and they had to bring Chris Paul back into that game. So I'm sure that's kind of probably the things that Monty was not entirely thrilled about.
Yeah, some of the players, too, felt the same thing. We've talked about consistency of message with this team this year. Here's Jay Crowder, who had that amazing first half, talking about it could be a good thing to have these teachable moments.
Very helpful, very beneficial for us, especially our group. Just always trying to learn, trying to put our best foot forward each and every day, each and every game. I feel like whether we win or lose is always stuff you can work on. And we're aware of that. Our coaches have to do a good job of keeping us locked in on that. And as players, we got to continue to hold each other accountable on that end of the game. So we definitely feel like win or lose is definitely beneficial for us to just try to learn from our mistakes in games and try to fix them and correct them for the next opponent. So it's definitely helpful for our group.
Yeah, the other thing that's popped up somewhat consistently is the playing down to the opponent. The Houston Rockets have had a really tough year. Looking at their roster yesterday, they've used 27 different players already this season. They've started 16 different players. They had another player last night, Armani Brooks, who came in, scored his first NBA points, and was actually bringing them back. He was so red hot from mm-hmm. the floor. It's been a rough year in Houston. The Suns get the win, but I like this quote from Jay Crowder, too, talking about the subject of respect of opponents.
Well, how good are we? I think our sky's the limit. It's however good we want to be. I feel like we can beat any and everybody in this league, but it's you got to respect your opponent at all times. We don't do a good job of just respecting our opponent at all the times. I feel like And that can come back and bite us in the butt a little bit once we come into these games with these lesser opponent teams in a sense. But we're all professionals, and we do have to respect our opponents. So how good we can be is up to us. I honestly feel that way. We got to continue to put the work in each and every day, and the sky's the limit. I don't want to put a cap on us, because I honestly play for one thing, and that's for a championship. I don't play for stats. I don't play for anything other than getting to the playoffs and playing for it all. So that's my goal. And that's where I'm gonna say our sky is.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of truth to what Jay Crowder said, but I think that the
Suns, very honest too.
Yeah, the Suns also, I think they benefited not only from playing a team that's had a rough year, but they benefited from a team that doesn't know how to win games. That game got to a point last night where it was pretty tenuous, and I think had a team, even if a lesser team, had more experience in winning games, they would have found a way to win that game, because the Suns opened the door for them. That is somewhat concerning, especially when you come back the next night against a team that you know you're going to get a solid effort from, a championship effort from, with Miami, and the Heat are starting to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
They've added to their roster. It's a very, very formidable 1 through 15, 16 for the Heat.
Yeah, and I think that tonight's going to be a better test. And one of the things about those Steve Nash 7 seconds or less Suns is they routinely beat people by 20, 25 points. They didn't have this particular issue, the disrespecting the quality of the opponent and having it affect the quality of your play. And that was that's very honest and candid after a win for Jay Crowder to say that,
mm-hmm.
to say that's not our greatest quality. And it can bite us in the backside. At the same time, I did a double take looking at the NBA standings this morning and just going, wow. You know what I mean? It's been so long since the Suns, since it was even worth looking at the standings.
Yeah, well, and then when you see Houston get tripped up by Washington, and I talked about how the Suns are benefiting from these teams resting players against them. And Bradley Beal didn't play against the Suns. Davis Bertans didn't play. They both played last night. They beat the Jazz. The Jazz get 40-plus from Donovan Mitchell again. They snapped their 24-game winning streak. The Suns are one game back in the loss column.
I know.
They're a game and a half back now of the top seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah. And we're going to learn a lot, because this is when, you know, after, I don't know who's right after Miami. Who do they play right after Miami?
That is, I don't know why I haven't memorized.
Well, the big road trip is coming up.
The big road trip is coming up. Mm-hmm. They got San Antonio. Sacramento is on Thursday. That's
okay.
I always forget about Sacramento.
Yeah, no, this right. Well, this homestand was kind of seen in for the most part as the calm before the storm.
Yes.
In some ways.
Yes.
And so they're continuing to win. They're continuing to learn lessons. It doesn't get any better than that. They continue to have things that they can grow and places where they can develop, and that's what makes this so fun.
Yeah, I mean, normally, like we said, there's that graduation period where bad teams have to learn to be good again. The impact of Chris Paul has been phenomenal. The rest of the team operating around it has, you know, they blended well. It's getting real. I mean, also, as you know. It sounded strange to say it, but there's a thing that I read at the games now for upcoming promotion, where the prize is Suns playoff tickets. I've never been able to say that in that job.
Never uttered those words before. that's crazy.
I know we said we were going to talk to Brian Windhorst. Apparently, we are having all kinds of phone issues.
Okay.
On our end, so we're trying to get it rectified, and maybe we'll be able to catch up with Brian Windhorst a little bit later on.
All right, you got it.
The DeAndre Ayton thing. I agree with you. Again, there were those moments. I think they're becoming fewer and further in between for DeAndre Ayton. One thing I do really like that I see is some real decisiveness when he gets the ball back to the basket.
Yeah.
And aggressive spin moves.
Yeah.
And there was a couple plays last night. A play so nice, everybody on the Houston bench was yelling for a travel, but that was just solid.
Yeah, I think it kind of was.
Maybe it was, but good solid footwork.
You know what I loved about that play in and of itself, Vinny, was it was real quick and it wasn't very decisive. Like you said, that's what it is. And that it's a great look. I did a double take on that play myself. So I'm tickled at where DeAndre Ayton is going. Did you see what he tweeted out this morning?
I did not.
You did not. Check it out. It was very interesting. It was talking, it basically was referring to how much weight and pressure is on his shoulders. Check it out.
Really?
Yeah, you got to read this. I'm curious what your take on this is going to be.
I also noticed, too, in looking at the shots that he made last night, there were 9 of them. They were all within a foot of the basket. There wasn't, you know, we've seen almost an elimination of the mid-court jump shot, or the mid-range jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's becoming much more of a force inside. In fact, he was the only player that played last night for the Suns that didn't attempt or make a three-pointer.
Yeah.
That's how prolific their shooting was for a good portion of that game. I am looking forward again. It gets ramped up. We felt it last week when the Jazz came to town, and they had the back-to-back against the Jazz and the Clippers. Miami has not been as strong as a lot of people thought they would be. They've had some injury issues. This is a really good basketball team coming in here tonight that came off a great run in the playoffs, and they want to get back there. I always like watching the Suns play, but it gets multiplied by 10 when you got a good team coming in.
When you get a team with some swagger like that, and you know Jimmy Butler and all that stuff, it's you're looking at a game that's going to be very intense. And these are the games that are very good for the Suns to experience, because that's the one thing that they lack. And you know, pursuing the number one seed is going to be a good crash course in for the playoff experience they do not have.
Yes. Tonight, Suns and Heat, 7 o'clock. You can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You don't have to be a star athlete to get your signing bonus. Just text bonus, BONUS, right now to 620-620. Listen for your name this afternoon at 1:35 to win $500. Once again, that's bonus to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports Signing Bonus. Here's some exciting news for a lot of people that are sports fans. Professional sports wagering approved by the state legislature, the state Senate, and is expected to be signed into law by Arizona Governor Doug Ducey.
Yeah.
The Senate Bill 1797 and House Bill 2772 got final approval last night to the House version, 23-6 vote with one member not voting. We are on the doorstep of legal sports gambling and expanded gambling overall, too, in the state of Arizona.
And I don't know what to feel about this. As somebody who does not engage in sports gambling, I don't get the highs or the lows, so I don't know what my opinion is worth on this, but I have seen the devastating effects on it. It's clearly an addiction, and it clearly raises the blood pressure and the temperature in the relationship between the athlete and the fan. The latter is what I'm concerned about. We have already seen and heard stories more in the last year than I can remember in recent vintage of athletes getting bombarded with racial texts, stuff on social media that really goes way out of bounds. When you couple the nastiness that's out there because of social media and because of Twitter, and now you are going to add into the factor that fans are going to actively have their own money on the line in these games, I don't like where it's going. So I'm a little bit concerned about that, but it's also going to be something that's going to be, it's going to be a boon for these sports franchises, because if they're only allowing sports wagering to take place in these stadiums, then that's going to draw people.
How much do you think it will cause people who don't normally gamble to gamble,
though? I was just going to ask that. Like, Bick, you're not a sports gambler.
No.
It's not because it's not legal, correct?
No. I just have always, felt worse about losing money than I felt good about winning money.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So I have never, so as a consequence, I really struggle with the roller coaster ride that gamblers go on.
So you don't gamble in any form?
I don't.
No.
But Carlin's different because you used to love sports gambling, right?
I love all types of gambling.
Really?
I very rarely, I only do it in the form of like fantasy sports now.
You know what then, Jared? Roll the dice and get a haircut.
you don't think it's a gamble walking out of my house looking like this every day?
Uh-huh.
I... I love gambling. I love sports gambling. I love poker. I love stuff like that. But I don't really do it too much anymore.
Will this make you more apt to do it?
So you self-discipline yourself.
I self-discipline myself just because I never have the funds to partake, really.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to attend a game and this were easily accessible, I probably would do it. Because I do like doing it,
yeah.
And since it's legal, I wouldn't definitely not bet anything big or anything.
I think that's a great point. Because you asked the question, Jarrett, first, how many people will start gambling on sports now that it's legal? And I mean, there's levels to it. Are we talking about people that become avid gamblers, problem gamblers? Sure, that will happen. But what Jarrett just outlined to me, I could see myself doing that too. If you're at a game and now sports books are right at the game, mm-hmm. or there's a sports book in your sports bar and you can make a bet on your way to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
You might be more apt to do it. It just seemed like a hassle the other way around. I might be more apt to do that. And I guess that falls under, hey, more people are going to partake. But I don't think that's necessarily the concern that you brought up originally.
Yeah, no. Well, because I could imagine that sports bars must be livid about this, because think about what an attraction that would be. And as of right now, if I read it correctly, 10 professional sports teams in Arizona can acquire a betting license, and 10 tribes, Native American tribes, can do so as well.
Okay.
And so how this thing plays out is going to be fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to make of it because I haven't seen the results of states that have already gone down this road. You know, how many states is sports gambling legal in? The number is growing all the time.
Yeah. I don't know what that answer is.
But also, when you talk about the effects of it,
mm-hmm.
You talked about the vitriol. That's not going to get any better.
No, it's not going to
get
any
better. When you have more people with a concern or financial motivation for teams winning or covering or winning a bet for a certain gambler, I mean, that's just going to continue to get out of control.
All right, so let me ask you this, Carlin. When you were back, he's busy right now. We can't ask him this. But it comes down to just that. If you are a sports fan and... You got to be careful with this stuff. And I'm not going to tell people how to spend their money. And just because I don't do it, I'm not going to judge anybody who does. I know that the temperature between fans and athletes on social media, it's about as bad as I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
And this is not going to make this any better.
But from the financial part of it, too, and you brought up even the problem gambling, the addiction part of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many other things that are legal now in different states and in this country that are addictive.
Yeah. Why not? You're right.
What's one more?
You're right.
I know that's a flip and irresponsible way to look at it. But I even remember, you remember a few years ago, Bic, that it started with the beginning of the NFL season, and it probably was 4 or 5 years ago, where every commercial was for a daily fantasy sports mm-hmm. company. And I remember the reaction was, wow, they're playing these commercials a lot. And B, it sucks. We get to see the commercials in Arizona. We can't participate in it. That's another aspect under all of this is the daily fantasy sports.
Oh, yeah.
Will now become legal.
Yeah, that's a good point. And by the way, so I just read this. It won't just be at the stadiums. Those sports teams, you can also bet on them via a mobile app. So you won't have to go to the game to do it. So, but I'm sure it'll lead to some uptick in attendance, right? I would really believe that there would be some people go, okay, I can go to a baseball game and maybe walk out with a pocket full of money. Sign me up. I'll go to a game.
Yeah.
I'll watch baseball. It's going to be interesting.
Those $15 beers aren't going to pay for themselves.
They never do, Vinny.
They never do.
Kind of sad, right? So, Carlin, when you were in the midst of gambling, did it change you as a fan? Did you get more out of your mind?
Well, I will say that what a lot of sports gamblers say is that it gets you interested in things that you wouldn't be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So the most fun thing in the world is to go to Vegas and bet on the NCAA tournament, because beyond your bracket, because a lot of people's brackets are busted, you know, day one, it gets you interested in every single game, and it gets you interested in every game that's a blowout.
Yeah.
Because a team doesn't just have to win. They have to win by 22 points. And when they're up by 20 points with the ball late and they're dribbling the clock out, you're screaming, shoot the ball!
Right. Yeah, that's it. And that's the other disconnect. You start getting mad at teams and athletes for doing good things on the court, but they don't benefit you because they don't adhere to the point spread.
And that's going to be interesting, too, because if you could bet in arena, and say you bet on the Suns because you're a big Suns fan,
yeah,
but they're only up by 15 and the spread is 16, and or the over-under or whatever,
right?
It's like the little tiny things that really have no effect on them winning are affecting you.
It's going to be very strange.
One thing they should do, which I don't know if they will or not, but they're probably not going to do, they should put a limit on what you can bet. Because if they put a limit on what you can bet, how much you can bet, it keeps, you know, you only getting so angry over stuff, you know?
But yeah, I do.
I think the monetary benefits would outweigh individual anger.
I know. But if
you're asking people to think about the mental well-being of a human being.
Well, I mean, what Dan was implying, though, about how, like, fans already, because you hurt their fantasy team or just because, you know, whatever, they don't like you, they go after you on social media and make threats in your emails and texts.
Well, let's be honest,
tweets,
too. All those people aren't necessarily gamblers or fantasy players. They're just some miserable SOBs on
there's
the planet.
There is that, too.
You're never going to get rid of that. I find it interesting, and Jarrett kind of talked about how it changes how you view a game. I know a few avid gamblers, and the amount of knowledge they have on a broad base, but also details, because you have to. If you want to be successful at it, you have to know these things. You have to know trends. It's amazing. It just seems so daunting to me.
Yeah.
Like, I follow this stuff because it's my job. I don't want to follow it because it's my livelihood,
now,
too.
I've encountered people who, like, were real big-time sports gamblers, and they always dealt with, like, women's tennis or, like, golf.
Yes.
Stuff that, like, wasn't the stuff that everybody bet on, because you can get really good on it and sort of, like, game the system because it's not the thing that everybody's betting on.
Okay.
Like I told you this before. We have a former coworker at a former station who left radio, became a professional sports gambler, made most of his money in women's tennis.
Wow.
Fascinating discussions with him.
Wow.
Just not enough to make me gamble. Although, anybody want to make a wager on mustache, not a mustache?
Yeah.
What are the odds?
25-1 on Bickley, 3-1 on Murata.
Bickley won last week, right?
He did?
I don't think he did.
Wasn't it the week that you walked out of the studio?
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll play mustache, not a mustache, straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Mustache. Not a mustache.
A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache, a mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you only got a mustache.
That's your mom and she's got a mustache.
All right, it's that time of week for America's fastest growing facial hair related quiz sensation. Mustache.
Not a mustache.
Sorry, I was late on the draw.
What a dork. Now, I'm going to be playing a clip from a movie, an interview, TV show, song, and you'll have to tell me whether the person talking or singing has a mustache or does not have a mustache, and then you can receive a bonus point if you correctly identify the person. First one, the 10, or we run out of time, or I run out of questions, or not even the first one, because you both get a chance. But that's how we play, mustache, not a mustache. And Vince, I believe you won last week, which will allow you to choose whether you want to go first or second.
I will let my esteemed partner, Dan Bickley, go first today.
Wow, okay. Very bold choice. And we will start with a musical clue.
Why is that bold? It's 50-50.
Why can't I just have a little...
All right,
here we go.
That would be Bachman Turner Overdrive, and I believe in that era that my safest bet would be mustache.
That's correct. You are right. Mustache and beard. for Mr. Bachman or Turner. I'm not quite sure who.
Or Overdrive.
Yeah, was it Larry Overdrive?
Larry Overdrive.
I'll just say this.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad you went first.
Oh! Didn't know
good
that.
Good play.
One. Okay. All right, Vinny?
Yeah. That is a flock of seagulls, not a mustache.
That is correct.
It is correct.
Either of you have the flock of seagulls haircut in your youth? No?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that guy is your hero. Who's got his hair crazy?
You know me too well.
A guy who walked into a room and everybody started talking about his hair immediately, definitely Jarrett's role model.
All right. Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Chicks dig me. Because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual. But now I know why I have always lost women to guys like you. I mean, it's not just the uniform. It's the stories that you tell. So much fun and imagination.
Lee Harvey. You are
a madman.
That is Bill Murray. That is not a mustache.
Okay, you are correct. 2 points.
4-2, Dan.
All right, Vinny.
Orphans, listen to me. Listen to Ignacio. I know it is fun to wrestle. A nice pile drive to the face. Mm-hmm. Or a punch to the face. But you cannot do it. Because it is in the Bible not to wrestle your neighbor.
A movie that I never saw.
Oh.
But using context clues, Jack Black and Nacho Libre mustache.
Yes.
Very well done.
Fantastic. This is why it's very hard to compete against Vince Morata, because he has such deep pop culture knowledge that even stuff he has not seen, he knows. All right. Dan?
I heard you on the wireless back in 52.
Oh, man, I know this, but I don't know it.
It's a tough one.
I don't think I'm going to pull this one out, so I will say not a mustache, but don't have a clue.
It is not a mustache. It was the first song ever played on MTV.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
It is the Buggles from Video Killed the Radio Star. Okay, door is open. Vince.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. Got my mind set on you. But it's gonna take money.
That is George Harrison, mustache.
That is George Harrison.
Not a mustache.
Not a mustache. As we've established on the show, a 5 o'clock shadow is not a mustache. And he does not have a mustache in that music video. You could, I know you're Googling it right now.
I am.
But you could look it up.
Did you know there's two different music videos for that
song?
In
neither one of them does he have a mustache. He has a 5 o'clock shadow in both. I know it's very controversial.
All right. 5-5.
5-5. All right. Dan?
Today, buddy, we're going to discuss grindage. Having filled the furnace, packed the cheeks, and stuffed the gills. Okay? Link and I are cruising the mountain, bro, and we figure we's a little juice.
I have no idea, but I'll just guess. Pauly Shore, not a mustache.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. There's that little last little thing at the end.
Yeah,
hey, buddy.
Exactly. Boy, that guy was very, very
weird.
Rich and famous for that one stupid thing, which I'm jealous of. I wish I had one stupid thing. All right, here we go.
Oh, really? How exciting. What's it called? Aye, aye, Captain, you got it.
And if they want to drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
No, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any Merlot!
That is Paul Giamatti from Sideways, and he had a mustache.
That is correct.
What a great movie that is.
I love that movie.
What a great movie.
7-7.
All right, 7-7. These are the last two clues here, so you could both go into... Well, we're running along here. Right, here
well,
we go.
If you'd stop all this nervous chatter in between the questions...
I gotta queue up the...
All right, that's why it's so hard to play against him.
Be thoughtful and trustful and childlike. Be witty and happy and wise. Be honest and love all your neighbors. Be obsequious, purple and clairvoyant. Be pompous, obese, and eat cactus. Be dull and boring and omnipresent.
That would be Steve Martin, not a mustache.
Yeah, buddy. Well done.
9-7.
Okay, Vinny. I will just take the... If you get the actor, I'll be very impressed, but just the character name is fine.
McPoyne, don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day. Besides, we both know I'm trained to become a cage fighter. Try and hit me, Napoleon.
What?
I said come down here and see what happens if you try and hit me. Let me see what your best move is.
That is Kip Dynamite, played by Aaron Rule.
Baby.
Mustache.
Whoa. Well done.
Incredible. Okay.
Tiebreaker.
We have a tiebreaker.
9-9.
And what we're going to do here, and it is a Napoleon Dynamite, which featured Uncle Rico, which featured Pedro, which featured Kip, a lot of mustaches in that movie.
Yeah.
What was the official runtime of Napoleon Dynamite?
All right, so I'm going to send you a message here. Is that how we're doing it again?
Yep, I'm a team.
You're going to get a lot of criticism on this this particular tiebreaker question, too, just like you did last week. Hold on. Is my computer working? Nothing else is working today.
I see you're typing.
All right. My guess is
okay. All right, Dan, do you have a guess? How long? How long was Napoleon Dynamite?
107 minutes.
Which would be an hour and 47 minutes.
Okay, you guessed an hour and 47 minutes. Vince guessed an hour and 34 minutes. The answer is an hour and 36 minutes.
Wow, Vinny.
So Vince, within two, I think he wins both showcases by being within 2 minutes. Well done.
Yeah.
A very competitive, close game. And this was a pretty tough edition of...
Mustache!
D-backs take it on the A's. We've got D-backs on deck straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
A mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache. If you only got a mustache.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the Bacon Jam Cheeseburger for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
The 1-1 pitch and a ground ball should end the ball game. Andrus has got it on to first, and the A's win it. Final score 9-5.
Yeah, I don't think this particularly our type of baseball that we played today. I think there's some identifiable things that we, we're talking about right now. We're going to get our hands on, and we'll tighten up. This team, responds to the teaching and the coaching, and we all know where things backed up on us today.
All right, yesterday was not your type of baseball. Was after a good day on Sunday, let's be honest, in that finale against the Cincinnati Reds, will today be Diamondbacks type of baseball? That is the question as they get ready to take on the Oakland A's at Chase Field, 12:40 first pitch. It's been up and down, and certainly we've concentrated on some of the down yesterday, and it started with the starting pitcher, Madison Bumgarner, continuing to struggle. ERA now through three starts at 11.20. That doesn't mean anything today, and we'll just jump right into it because that's the big story for today is the pitching matchup. And the pitching matchup today is brought to you by Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives. Zach Gallen, right-hander, finished ninth in the Cy Young voting last year with a 3-2 record and a 2.75 ERA, 82 strikeouts and 72 innings. Because of Major League Baseball and their inability to enact a universal designated hitter, Zach Gallen was on the injured list to start the season. Trying to hit the baseball, hairline fracture in the throwing arm. He's back and he's ready to make his debut. And, man... I thought he'd be out a lot longer than two starts. So this is not a bad thing.
Yeah, no, yeah, I would agree with that, because you would think that the Diamondbacks would certainly err on the side of caution with Zach Gallen,
mm-hmm.
given the fact that he's going to be a centerpiece of this rotation along with Ketel Marte in terms of position players, hopefully for years to come. But I do think that that he can do his team a good service today. I think Zach Gallen coming out and pitching like he did last year will be a good jolt for the team. As in, okay, good. We'll have somebody there who can be our ace.
Somebody. Yesterday, Zach Gallen spoke to the media one day ahead of his first start, and he talked about whether or not he's got any trepidation getting on the mound.
No, I'm ready to go. I had two sim game starts, camp days at the alt site. And you know, there's always, anytime there's injury, there's going to be some tentativeness. But once the game started, I was just kind of locked in, just let the game take over. So I don't see that being any different from tomorrow. I'm just going to try and go out there and do my job and throw up as many zeros as possible.
And it is interesting to note that injury only bothered him, even with the fracture, only bothered him when he threw his curveball. So, you know, if he's able to throw the curveball again, he should be effective. He was asked yesterday when he was able to throw the curveball again.
I think I was medically cleared April 5th. I think is what it was. That was 2 weeks from seeing Dr. Sheridan and getting all the opinions. That was the 2 week mark. So I technically actually threw just a couple, the fourth, just to make sure, like, you know, we weren't going in 0 to 100 that fifth day. Just flipped a couple playing catch. And then the fifth, got on the mound, threw a bullpen. I think I threw six total, like three from the stretch, three from the windup. And then ever since, you know, the fifth, it's kind of just been a gradual buildup to, you know, now we're kind of getting close to as many as I feel like I would need to get ready for an outing.
The bottom line is this, Bick, at 4-7, going on the road, wrapping this mini homestand, five-game homestand up, Zach Gallen, whenever he's on the mound, whenever he's been on the mound for the Diamondbacks, he gives you a good chance to win a ball game. They need to win this game just for positive feelings going out on the road.
Yeah. Did you notice that Zach Gallen sounds like a young Bill Belichick in there? He's kind of got that same timbre to his voice. No,
I think I was medically cleared April 5th.
No, do you hear it?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Too much emotion behind those words, though.
But I don't like coffee.
I don't like coffee.
But Zach Gallen, do you like coffee?
Yeah.
But I don't like coffee.
The opposing pitcher today for Oakland, 23-year-old left-hander Jesus Luzardo, making his third start of 2021. He's 0-1 with a 6.10 ERA. 14 strikeouts, 5 walks, and 10 and a third innings. He lost his first game of the season against the Astros, was way better in his second outing against the Dodgers, went 5 and a third innings, 2 runs, struck out 6, walked 4, didn't get a decision, but the A's did beat the Dodgers in that ball game back on April 7th. This will be his second career start against the D-backs. You may remember last year, up in Oakland last August, Luzardo was great. 6 1/3 shutout innings against the D-backs, 7 strikeouts a game that the A's won 4-1. He's really good. He hasn't been really good so far this year, but this is a premier pitching matchup between these two.
Yeah, the A's got off to an 0-6 start this year, and they've been, I believe that's correct,
yes,
and they've been really good as of late. So this is a challenging team for the Diamondbacks to face right now. There's no doubt about that.
There's your pitching matchup for today. Again, Bert, brought to you by Berg Simpson Law Firm. Let's now take a look at the keys to today's game.
I am the Keymaster.
D-backs Keys to the Game. Brought to you by San Chevrolet. Sands makes it easy. Shop how and where you want. Online in the new San Showroom. Find new roads at sanchevrolet.com.
Key to the game today, Bick.
My key to the game, Vinny, is just to get a quality start, because I believe the Diamondbacks offense is kind of rounding into form a little bit. They were even good yesterday. They just need the starting rotation to oblige if they're going to be a competitive baseball team. So that's where I'm going. Just a quality start from Zach Gallen.
My key to the game is get off to an early start with the bats. Diamondbacks so far through 11 games have scored 50 runs. Not a horrible number, but only 10 of those 50 runs have come in innings 1 through 3 this year.
Wow.
They're only hitting 200 in the first three innings of games. Now, again, the batting average hasn't been spectacular team-wide, but, you know, especially for a pitcher coming back from injury, making his first start, I think you want to make things as easy as you can for Zach Gallen. So getting off to a good offensive start.
Margin for error. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, my key to the game. Real quick look today at the MLB standings, and that's brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. Diamondbacks come into today's action at 4-7 on the year. Same exact record as the A's, by the way. D-backs fourth place, half game ahead of Colorado in fourth place. And as expected, you look at the picture that's being painted in the National League West. The two teams that everybody expected to be great have been great. Dodgers in first place at 8-2. They've won three straight. San Diego at 8-3. They've won four straight. And they have two of the better run differentials in all of baseball at this point. Mm-hmm. So they are living up to the billing, even for in the Padres' case, without Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, yeah, they're hanging on nicely.
In the National League, or excuse me, the American League West, where the A's call home, they are also in fourth place. They're a half game ahead of the Texas Rangers out of the cellar. Angels off to the good start, 7-3 so far. They're in first, a game ahead of the Astros and a game and a half ahead of Seattle. And real quick, when you're talking about the Angels, you can't go a day without getting more headlines and more eye-popping stats and StatCast stuff from Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, he really is all that, isn't he?
He hit a ball 119 miles an hour yesterday.
Yeah, he's quite talented. Yeah, and I feel good for that because this we all need to see Mike Trout in the postseason. Baseball needs Mike Trout in the postseason at some point in time.
Baseball might need Shohei Ohtani in the postseason.
Yeah, right,
Mike Trout could just come along for the ride.
That's right.
He couldn't get him there himself.
That's true. It's a good point.
Yeah, so that is the stage being set today. Chase Field, first midweek matinee of the season for the Arizona Diamondbacks as they play host to the Oakland A's in that finale, and then it's off on the road for a lengthy road trip. Not a whole lot of home games in the month of April for the Diamondbacks. Again, Zach Gallen going up against Jesus Luzardo. First pitch is at 12:40, and of course you can hear all the action with Greg Schulte, Tom Candiotti, and Mike Farron on the call starting at 12:40 with the first pitch. Pre-game coverage just a couple minutes away over on ESPN 620 AM.
You've been listening to D-backs on Deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the Bacon Jam Cheeseburger for a limited time only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.